Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. In our first segment, we talked about rules of thumb. Okay, one of the rules of thumb, I think that people make a mistake of when they're putting together proper portfolio management is portfolios we often see are a good collection of ideas at the time. So I hear about a company, I buy that company without consideration of what percentage of my portfolio is in there, what country it's in, what segment of the economy it's in, all of these things, collection of good ideas around the time. And I argue that there's a real lack of discipline, perhaps understanding is a better word, of how to properly put together portfolios to weather different storms, because there's always something on the horizon, right? Volatility spikes for all kinds of different reasons. We talked about the recession word right now. Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's give some people some insight as to what they need to be thinking about when they're putting these things together. And you were using an excellent analogy off air. We're talking about building a building, right? We're talking about building a building. And if you're an engineer, you know, do you build a building that has an average or a median lifespan of 20 years, right? Meaning that in less than 20 years, that building could fall down, or significantly more time, it could still be standing. We don't know.
One thing, right? Also, when you're building something like a building, engineers have done this quite well, and they look for the worst case scenarios.
Yeah,
like what could really go wrong,
right?
And how do we protect? They don't look at the data and say, 20% of the time there's high winds in downtown Calgary. Maybe this building will fall, so let's not protect ourselves from those
issues.
What
are we building it? What's the environment we're building it in, right?
Correct.
Right.
And that's the starting point.
Right.
Most investment advisors, as well as investors that do it themselves, start with the selection of the company or the investment and don't have a reason of why they're putting it in there besides it sounds like a good investment to get into.
Yeah, okay. I would argue that they're even starting. Yeah, okay, let's just go with that.
So the key thing that you mentioned was about the building was the environment.
Yeah.
That's literally what you got to start with, is what's the environment that you're in the short term, less than 2 years, greater than two, and then greater than 10 years.
And let me add to that. Should a 20-year-old have the same portfolio as somebody in retirement?
Possibly not.
Because there's potentially a different environment with a different set of goals and objectives.
Correct. Because right. the 2 years, if the money is not needed for the next 2 years, then you don't need to worry about those issues.
Right.
But when you're approaching or living in retirement, what's your plan to give you your cash flow for the next 2 to 5 years? And what's your plan for growth to beat inflation and to head off your expenses you're going to have in the future down the road? Right. Before you even start to calculate how much you need, you kind of have to know what the landscape is. Mm-hmm. And let me give you an example of today where we're at. There's a lot of things that are causing concerns in the economy. We're getting into some geopolitical issues. We're getting into potentially a recessionary issues, an economic slowdown. That's the short term. Okay. And short term is less than 5 years. We're going to have these issues. Now, when you look at those issues and you think, okay, what about the long term? What's the long term trends? Let me break it down for a lot of people where they're not catching this yet. The wave of the future, the next 10 years, is going to be in a certain types of sectors, a certain types of technology. And we can debate if it's going to be fully integrated or not, or regenerated or not, or however you want to look at this. But the future is not Blockbuster Video. The future is not a building of a house. The technology to build that house will change, but the building of the house will still be. So what are we investing for in the long term in the future? Because that's where the growth opportunities are. So when you take an economic view of short, medium, and long-term views, you need to build that out first.
Right.
And that will dictate what we call in our industry asset allocation. Now, many people, viewers, listeners of the show, will send me their portfolios and say, hey, what do you think? And I can tell you, their asset allocation is a bunch of stocks.
Right.
Maybe cash. Rarely do I see individual bonds or bond strategy. Rarely. Because they're all going for the growth. And then you ask them, what's your economic strategy behind this, and I get the deer in the headlights look.
Right.
So start off with the economic piece. Where's the world going over the next 2, 5, 10 years plus? Build asset allocation based on that. You cannot have all your money in the stock market.
Right.
When you're approaching or living in retirement, remember we were talking about this, that if you build a building that you're just looking for it to stay up, and there's a 20% chance at any point in time, this thing will collapse. Will you go in that building?
Right.
Why would you invest your future on that methodology as well?
Yeah. And then so we talk about the five pillars.
That's the asset allocation.
Right. There's more than two asset classes, which people typically think of as stocks. And if I don't like stocks right now, I'm just going to go to cash. I'm going to try to market time.
If
right?
you are interested in these types of conversations, if you are bored or you're suffering from insomnia, okay? I'd like you to actually do the research, Google, ChatGPT, whatever. What are the holdings of some of the largest pension plans around the world? Look at the endowments that are around the world and look at the sovereign wealth funds. None of them, absolutely none of them, have 100% of their money in the stock market. None.
Yeah. In any one asset class.
None of them have all their money in stocks and cash. None of them. So why do we as an average investor not give the same respect to our future, our retirement, our pension,
right,
as pension plan managers do?
Now, your environment when you move into retirement is also different. So sticking with this idea of a structure, a building or a house, the foundation is the most important piece of that structure.
Right.
You want it to be rock solid. And when you move into retirement, okay, what people need is predictable, sustainable cash flow. You've got to build a foundation to make sure you can support your lifestyle. What does that look like?
Oh, I'll tell you what most people do. Looks like buying a bunch of stocks that pay out dividends on a regular basis. That's my cash flow.
Got it.
And this is where I get frustrated, because that's big risk. Not because the dividends could be cut, because you can buy what they call dividend aristocrats, that their dividends have never been cut.
Right.
Okay. There's volatility. Sure, you can handle the volatility as long as you get the cash flow. I don't care what the price of the house goes up and down, as long as the rent is paid on time.
Right.
That's the analogy that people use.
Right.
Here is the biggest problem. You're giving up something to get that dividend. What you give up is the growth of those companies. And if you look at the big dividend payers out there, they're not good growth companies.
Right.
The biggest growth in your potential for the future, the long term, is investing in those companies as well that are growing. Not
so
just
they're different pays. Mandates, though, right? Income and growth are different mandates.
100%.
So let's go back to dividends for a second, because even if the dividend isn't cut, you accept a lot of volatility in those underlying stocks.
Correct.
Right? We just talked about the stock market. What happens if you have an expense 1 year that's greater than what your dividends provide? What do you do?
Yeah, let's say you have $1 million. It's a 5% dividend on your $1 million portfolio. That's $50,000. What if you need to spend $55,000 that year?
Right.
We're not talking a big lump sum withdrawal. Just $55,000.
Right.
$5,000 more than what the dividends were paying.
Right.
What happens?
You've got to sell something.
And that means the future dividends that you receive are
going
less.
Down.
Welcome to the spiral.
Right. So it's those unexpected expenses that can create a real problem there.
I don't know anybody who hasn't dipped into their savings for a purchase of something beyond.
Right.
Unless you're only on a pension that you get a fixed amount and you stay like that forever, you're pretty much dipping into your savings at some point.
Right. And even then, we see borrowing against a house and so on and so forth. So it's very difficult every single year to live on that fixed income idea.
It is crazy. And that's why we have these types of conversations live in person. Our next one, Tuesday, September 10th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You do need to register for this. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay. And thank you for joining us today on behalf of Faisal, myself, Dave, the entire team at PKAG, and the More Than Money crew. We look forward to talking to you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Karmali are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Wood Gundy and Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Karmali do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Wood Gundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Private Wealth consists of services provided by CIBC and certain of its subsidiaries, including CIBC Wood Gundy, a division of CIBC World Markets Inc.